You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Patty Sanchez. Patty, Duarte's chief strategy officer, creates IP and counsels clients to create authentic connections with their audiences through persuasive presentations and story-based communications. She is the co-author, along with Nancy Duarte, of the award-winning book Illuminate, Ignite Change Through Speeches, Stories, Ceremonies, and Symbols. Patty leads an expert team of communication consultants and creative writers who help clients move their audiences in one powerful moment or in a movement over time. Applying insights from more than 25 years of communication experience, Patty helps leaders and persuaders understand the inner workings of the human mind and heart, and then use that knowledge to craft engaging narratives that cut through the clutter and resonate on a deep level. Patty packages her expertise into inspiring and educational keynotes for executives, entrepreneurs, and marketing and communication professionals on how they can lead movements, use storytelling as a strategic tool, and harness the power of presentations as a creative communication platform. She has delivered highly rated presentations at conferences and events, including Khosla Ventures CEO Summit, the CEO Alliance, Vital Speeches, CEO Communications Summit and Leadership Communication Days, IABC World Conference, HBR, Marketing Profs, Salesforce Exact Target Connections, Invent Your Future, Watt, CASRO, and Presentation Summit. Patty also delivers custom keynotes addressing corporations such as Facebook and Google, as well as higher education institutions such as Stanford and Rice University. Her work has been honored by IABC, BMA, Vital Speeches of the Day, and Axiom. Patty, welcome to On Brand.
Wow, thanks for having me. That was quite an intro.
That is nothing but the finest when it comes to introductions here. I feel like there is some sort of pithy communication segue we could make from that, but I can't quite connect the dots. But introductions are oh so important.
I agree completely. And as a big fan of the power of the spoken word, I think this is one of the most powerful mediums we could be using to introduce ourselves to each other and to share insights with people around the world. So I'm glad to be here.
So I'm trying to think through the couple hundred guests we've had here on the On Brand podcast. And I'm trying to think if we've had author and co-author separately before. I think this may be an On Brand podcast first. And if it's not, we're just going to lie and assume that in fact it is.
Because we're marketers.
Exactly. Sounds good. Sounds right. Let's go with it. But we had Nancy on a few months ago. And she and I spoke a great deal about the power of presentations, as you note. But what I think is interesting is, and I know Nancy's work well and have attended workshops of hers previously, but what fascinates me a little bit is that Illuminate specifically is different from the rest of her work. So I thought it might be good if you gave kind of the 1,000-foot up of idea on this approach, what led to it, and how it ended up as a book.
Sure. Yeah. It was a really interesting journey of a couple of years for Nancy and I to research and write this book together. But the inciting incident, to use a term from the world of
there
story,
we go.
was really the nature of conversations that we started having with clients around 2012, 2013, when her book, previous book, Resonate, had already been out for about a year or so. And leaders were starting to read it and coming to us and saying, you know, I really want to use the power of storytelling to get my ideas across to people. And I have a really big, big idea. And as they described their ideas to us, I realized that what they're trying to do is so much bigger than the scope of what anybody could reasonably expect a presentation to accomplish. And that has been Duarte's sweet spot for years. A leader stands up on stage at a major conference or a sales meeting or a customer event, and they lay out a vision or they launch a product. It's a very high stakes moment. But when a leader is trying to drive an initiative on the scale of something like digital transformation, for instance, just one impassioned plea given from that stage won't be enough to rally their entire organization or industry to embrace that idea. And so we realized that there was a hole in the methodology that we've been teaching people over the years at Duarte, which is that you can give a great talk, but if the call to action that you want the audience to take up is big, a massive change effort, then you're going to have to give many talks at the very minimum over the course of months or even years to persuade people to embrace this idea and carry it forward. And that's when we realized there actually is a whole other methodology to mobilize people to embrace a big idea over time that we needed to teach. And that's what set us on the journey of researching and writing the book, Illuminate.
I love that. And I love that that you called it the inciting incident, but the power of stories is so potent. So what does that new methodology that you uncovered look like? Is there an overview of that, or?
Yeah. And interestingly, it actually follows the shape of a story structure, which was not the hypothesis that we had in our heads when we first set out to write the book. What Nancy originally envisioned when she wrote Resonate was that there would be some master set of story plots, types of stories that any organization, any business would tell. And as we dug into it, we started researching organizations of various sizes and kinds, like technology companies and financial services companies and even nonprofits that are trying to accomplish some big social change and or environmental change. And what we found was that the pattern that underlied their communication over time was not just several types of stories that they told, but also followed an overarching story shape. And that's what we call in the book a venturescape. And the reason we call it a venturescape is because this story shape describes the journey that an organization and its constituents takes over time to realize a vision or a dream. Whether that is launching a new product and getting people to adopt it, or espousing a cause, you know, like bringing clean water to parts of the world that don't have it, the process of getting people to understand and embrace that idea is really a journey that is just like the journey that a hero undertakes in all of our favorite stories. And this is the hero's journey. And the most common and simplest understanding of what that hero's journey looks like actually is a three-part structure. If you were to read Joseph Campbell's work, he would describe really the 12-part hero's journey. But to simplify it down to something that everybody can really understand and apply more easily, it follows a three-act structure. In the first act, we meet the hero, and we understand who they are and what they're trying to do. And then something happens, that inciting incident that throws their world off balance. And then that sort of begins the next chapter of the story, where the hero emerges all kinds of obstacles on their way toward resolving this conflict, overcoming this challenge, or accomplishing this goal that they're trying to achieve. And as they overcome those obstacles, they gain some insights and wisdom, and they gain some ground. And eventually, they return home in the final act of the story. And yet, while they return home, they realize that they are somehow different. They emerge transformed. And that whole story arc is really about a hero becoming changed. And that's what the process of bringing a big idea to the world does for the people that you're trying to get to embrace that idea too. Now, in the book, in Illuminate, we break down that three-act structure into actually five stages of this venturescape. But it's all about the people you're trying to enlist to embrace your idea being the heroes of this journey and all the things they encounter along the way.
I think that's fascinating. And I also, you know, when you talk about the journey of the hero, I think that's a story. It's a story shape that we all know. But sometimes we leave it home and we don't take to work. And I think it could overlay in several common settings where we need those stories, need to get other people on board, and we often struggle to do so.
I think that's really true. Whether we realize it or not, story is just not something we communicate. It's actually what we experience every day. And this is why stories have such resonance for people, such meaning for people. You know, we just, as a company, went a week ago, actually this past Monday, to see the new Star Wars film, because we all love stories and we want to celebrate them. And as I watched that movie, I am putting myself in the shoes of Rey and the adventure that she's on and the struggles that she's encountering to find her true self and understand where she came from and what purpose is in her she has in her life. And the reason that I'm so caught up in that as I'm watching that movie is because I wrestle with those same things. I mean, I'm way older than Rey, so I better hope I know what my purpose is now as a 50-year-old woman. But I remember being in her shoes when I was in my 20s and wondering, you know, trying to make sense of what did I get from my parents and how can I use those gifts in my quest to live a better life today. So that's why those stories have meaning for us, because they describe the actual journey that we undertake in our own lives. And so if you think about it that way, if you realize that, then everything you do in your daily life is a story too. You know, the new boss that you got, who's given you an edict and an impossible goal to reach, that's the inciting incident for you. That is launching you on a journey to figure out how to, you know, take a new product to market with half the budget you normally would get, or whatever the challenge is. And I think if you start to see your life that way, especially if you're a leader, then you can help the people that you're guiding through that journey find meaning and passion and purpose in it that will bring a whole other level of energy to their work. And I think that's the power of story in its essence.
And I would have to think, when you talk about those story overlays to these challenging situations, it seems like that structure, I found as I was listening to that, that if I was up against one of those challenges, it could apply some order and some structure to this potentially stressful task I have ahead.
I agree completely. And that's part of what we tried to describe in the book Illuminate, is to give communicators and leaders a framework, a structure that they can overlay onto the everyday communications that they do, as well as the big moments where they have, you know, very high stakes things to communicate internally or externally. And this becomes a roadmap and a toolkit that you can use at each stage.
So something else that fascinates me as you talk about leaders, and the book features stories of leaders, Steve Jobs, Howard Schultz. This being the On Brand podcast, it's no surprise that these, you know, leaders mentioned are not from brands that you've never heard of. So is there some correlation to this visionary leadership and internal storytelling and external brand communication and impact?
Well, I think it's true that organizations and people who understand the power of story are better at getting their story out into the world. And so we know about them. You know, Steve Jobs was a natural storyteller and narrator of journeys inside and outside his organization. And that's one of the reasons why we not only know and have a lot of documentation about the kinds of things that he tried to achieve at Apple, but we also feel affection for that brand because he did such a great job of storytelling, and that company does such a great job of storytelling that we feel a deeper attachment to them. But I think it's also possible for organizations and leaders to learn how to do that and to bring more visibility to their brands, even if they're not household names that we're all familiar with. If they master the art of storytelling, that can really bring lift to them.
Well, I think that's such a great point, because I think the danger of what I might have set up there was that it might be only if, you know, you have an Apple or a Starbucks sized brand. But I think that kind of change to your last point is possible by embracing story and being that change internally and bringing that through to the rest of the brand also.
Yeah, I think it works for everyone. In the course of talking about this book with people around the world, I've heard stories of organizations that actually do this really well. We just don't know who they are because they have a very niche market, and so they don't necessarily hit the radar of marketers outside their sector. But there are a lot of people doing this really well, like a regional Canadian bank. And I was talking to their head of communications, and she described to me this really brilliant campaign they did internally around the transition of a leader from a founder who was retiring to a new leader who came in from the outside. And they instinctively used some of these tools, like a great farewell speech from the outgoing leader and a welcome speech from the incoming leader, as well as a ceremony where they figuratively passed the baton from one leader to the next, and how that thoughtful application of storytelling practices really helped create the environment that got employees excited about this transition rather than fearful about it. And they emulated the same kinds of communication in their communication to their customers as well to explain this transition. So you don't have to be the world's biggest brand to do this well. And in fact, you can build affection without being big by practicing these principles.
Well, and I love that story because that moment could seem like a very small tactical moment, a passing of the baton speech. But if you take a step back and look at what else that sets up for a company and what that does for culture internally and what that culture sets in motion externally as well. So someone with their eye on the big picture understands in your bio, it talks about those moments that is one of those moments, one of those inflection points that can be something so much bigger.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, that there's a subterranean river of emotion that people of all kinds want to experience and be connected to in their daily lives, whether it's employees or consumers of a product, even investors who make a lot of decisions rationally, still have a reptilian mind inside that responds to fear or anger or excitement. And so the better you understand and recognize that deeper human need, the more you can see the opportunities in any moment, whether it's internal, external communication, a big launch, or just an update to a team, to tap into that subterranean river of emotion using story.
That's great. That said, when you say subterranean river of emotion, I would think that a lot of more traditionally focused business people might might sound like a scary thing to tap into.
Yeah, I suppose it can be a little bit daunting, and I don't necessarily use that language with very analytical cultures, because they'd be like, you have been living in California too long. I'd be like an alien creature. So yeah, when I'm trying to make a business case to a more analytical organization about the value of story, of course I talk more about the kinds of increases in sales, faster conversion rates, employee engagement levels, and things that you can point to as outcomes of effective communication. But I know, and you know, that one of the reasons those work is because they tap into the emotional side of human beings that is not always acknowledged, but is half of our decision-making brain, at least.
Yeah, so you have to figure out where to strike to tap into that half.
Yeah, and I think it's a matter of balance and contrast, and I think that's probably something Nancy shared with you as well. It's a big part of our philosophy. You've got to have the data, you've got to have the facts in your communication, but that doesn't mean you can't also explain to people what those facts and what that data means. And story is a great way to do that. So it's not necessarily always the case that you can overlay some, you know, Star Wars metaphor onto your financial update, but you can use a story about, you know, a customer that you won or a customer that you lost or some other anecdote that illustrates why the numbers are what they are.
You know, I think that's such a key point because I think you talk about the right and the left brain, the analytical and the creative. I think sometimes we do get kind of into an either or rut without exploring the relationship, the contrast, as both you and Nancy have mentioned, that are so key. And I don't know why we struggle with that so much, but it seems like we do.
Yeah. I've noticed a shift, I think, in the past few years, even in the more analytical cultures, toward an appreciation of storytelling. And so I think it's not as hard a sell as it used to be. And especially if you see it as, you know, the yang to the yin, as opposed to all just the yang. they're partners in communication. It's not a replacement for rationality.
Well, and it's because to your earlier point about where it leads and what impact you want it to have, you have to know that too. It can't just be a story for the sake of story too. Those kind of goals and outcomes in mind are also key.
Absolutely. And that's where we start oftentimes our conversations with clients or even internally as we apply this methodology to ourselves. It all goes back to the audience and what they're thinking and feeling and how we want to change that by the time that we're done. And that is the fundamental philosophical underpinning to all of this. Why even use story in the first place? Because it is a way to connect with your audience, to make things meaningful to them, not just about you. And so if you start from a place in your planning of identifying exactly where they are and their thinking and feeling and how you need that to change, then it starts to reveal not just the outcome you want to see, but the shift that needs to happen for that outcome to take place. How do they need to see your organization, your brand, your products in a different light? And what emotional journey do we have to take them on through the course of our communication to make that happen?
So if someone, a leader, someone at an organization is listening to this and is saying, yes, we need to do more of that, we need to embrace story. I love the idea that you mentioned about the Duarte team going and seeing Star Wars together. Where would you invite someone wanting to, in the new year ahead, use story better? Where's an easy place to drop in and start?
Disneyland.
We're going to Disneyland.
To Disneyland. Come on, guys.
This podcast is getting better all the time.
Yeah, you and I are definitely going to Disneyland when this is done. I mean, it sounds like a silly and facetious example, but yes, film is a great way to study and appreciate the power of story, as is literature. But to see it applied to an experience that everybody can have in their daily lives, I think Disneyland is a great example of how they bring characters and struggle and opportunity to life, even in the course of a ride, and how they fulfill the potential of the story beyond just the static telling of it in a movie. And I think that's part of our challenge as leaders too. If we buy that we need to start telling stories, we can start to incorporate those into formal communications. You know, the executive, the CEO gets up and gives a speech, and, you know, just like any great political leader would do, they tell a story or two about, you know, Sally in finance and Bob in sales and how, you know, this new process or technology is really going to change their lives. But then that speech is over and they're going to be walking the halls again. And they're going to be interacting with people on a daily basis in an informal way. How do they carry some of that story into those daily interactions? And so I think that looking at how traditional storytellers like filmmakers like Disney and Pixar choose elements of an essential core of a story and import that into the you know, the experience that you have when you enter the theme park, when the characters meet you, and what it's like when you stand in line for the ride and what it feels like when you get on the ride. This is really more about more a corollary to telling a brand story over time, you know, in all of the channels that you have at your disposal. It's not just a matter of articulating it, you know, chapter one, chapter two, chapter three in your formal communications, but infusing it into everything that you do so that people never really leave that world.
I love that. I love that. And I'm still thinking about going to Disneyland, just filing it under research.
You and me both. It's a write-off, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. So, Patty, as we wrap up, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Well, one of my favorite brands is a brand I interact with every day, which is my Mini Cooper. Oh. I've been driving this Mini Cooper S for about 15 years, which is a pretty long time. And it's starting to get a little rough around the edges, like any older car will. And so I'm thinking about getting rid of it. But I've had two interactions over the past weekend when I was traveling, checking into a hotel and then giving my car to a valet. And two separate people said to me, "This is the car I've always wanted." And they went on and on about how much they love the Mini Cooper and why they aspire to buy one. And it made me smile because it reminded me of why I chose that brand in the first place and what it represents to people and what it represented to me, which is fun and adventure. And I realized that that's what I want more of my life. So I'm not getting rid of her anytime soon.
That is a wonderful story, and a wonderful story about a wonderful brand as well. Patty, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Well, you can go to Duarte, www.duarte.com. We'll talk all about the business that we're in and the services that we offer. But you can also find me on Twitter at Patty San, PattiSan, as well as on LinkedIn. And I definitely connect to people when they reach out to me on LinkedIn, because I think you know, it's all about paying it forward and helping people be successful in their career. So drop me a note, ask me a question, and I'll see what I can do to help.
Absolutely. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Patty, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thanks so much. It was fun.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community, paying it forward, as Patty just noted. Steve Hutt gave us a shout out on Twitter for several recent episodes. Steve, thanks, as always, for listening. And a reminder, if you like something that you heard on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. You can find links to everything that we talked about at BrandDrivenDigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review. Help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.